Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two of our broadcast coming up. We're going to talk about a couple of money stories. One of them, the level of confidence we apparently have in our finances. The other issue, quite ironically, is the flip side of this. What is going on with retirement planning? That will be an interesting discussion as well. I'll be eager to get your thoughts on what's happening in your particular financial picture. Let's go out to Greenville and Robert. Good morning.
Yeah, hey, good morning. Can I ask a favor of you?
Uh-oh, this ought to be good. Maybe.
Well, I can ask.
You can ask. Yes, you can always ask.
Okay. Well, when you do this day in history or anything comparable to that, and you introduce that guy from here in the upstate, would you mind stipulating that he was, I think if I'm not mistaken, he was born and raised in Ohio, and he's not actually from here, he just is moved
Oh,
here?
My goodness. Lonzo, do you want to respond to this hater who dares to question the integrity of your who you are because you're not a real upstater?
Yeah, I'm here. I've lived here going on 23 years. I don't get why where I was born has anything to do with my answer.
He's just hating on Ohio is what it is, isn't it, Robert?
Well, that's partially. And you know, the educational background, obviously, is relevant when it comes to certain things like, you know, Robert Fulton, for instance. And, you know, so anyway. And don't
oh, my goodness. That is cold.
Don't be ashamed of where you're from. I mean, just because you fled there for whatever reason, shouldn't be a reason to be ashamed. So anyway, I'm just asking that as a favor, Nancy, do it or not. But I think it would be more transparent, as Nancy Pelosi might say.
All right. I appreciate your call, Robert. What say you, Mr. Reitzel, to this person who dares question your integrity as a genuine Carolinian?
Well, this again goes to a problem that we have here, and it's unfortunate. There is regionalism, and people believe that where they live is the only place, the best place, and they don't want Yankees, which I'm not a Yankee. I'm from Ohio. Yankees are from another place, New York, I believe. So obviously, just because I can't get the answers right doesn't mean I'm dumb.
Okay.
I think next time we need to bring him on and see if he answers them all because he speaks so well, and I'm sure he's a very intelligent individual.
Okay. Wow.
I got one more thing to say.
All right. You can go ahead and throw down there, Lonzo.
All right. Here we go.
That is great. Thank you very much for making another appearance, Lonzo. Oh, my goodness. I knew that would be hilarious to have that little exchange of words there. Let's go out to Fort Mill, south of the border, and Terrence. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, we'll need you to turn your radio down so we can have a conversation without hearing ourselves a few seconds later. That would be kind of confusing for you and everybody else.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
There we go.
Ms. Coakley?
Yes, sir.
Oh, what's happening, man?
Yes, great to talk to you.
All right. So I'm riding down the street. We listen to your radio station. And you made a statement about the voters being Kool-Aid drinkers, shit like that.
Okay. That was very good. About voters being Kool-Aid drinkers. Drinking what kind of Kool-Aid? I'm curious. Quite curious. some things that people post on the text line. It's becoming increasingly obvious the District of Criminals has added a mental asylum wing. Yeah. Glory and splendor, I said something about. You can see our pictures on Facebook. You mean you fellas was naked at the airport? What was going on in Charlotte? No, not quite. on the Grammys. That was just a feminist worship service and a chance to show off their bare chests. What a waste of time. Disappointed with all involved. Well, that's pretty blunt. Another person here saying about living here in the Carolinas, I didn't choose to be born up north, so I got here as soon as I could. That's great. Dear Lonzo, I love Upstate Pulse, but FYI, anything north of Grambling, South Carolina is Yankee territory. Oh my goodness. That's quite a standard you've set there. Vince, you played the Marine hymn, which was great. Now that you've opened the door, it's only fair that you now play the theme from Gomer Pyle, USMC. Please, please, please. Are you serious? Gomer Pyle? That is too funny. Some of you people just crack me up. Let's talk about what's going on with our economy. This is an interesting story. Americans' optimism about their personal finances climbed to levels not seen in more than 16 years. 69% now saying they expect to be financially better off at this time next year. That's really good, isn't it? The 69% saying they expect to be better off, only 2 percentage points below the all-time high of 71%. That was in March 1998. That was when the economic boom was producing some strong economic growth, combined with the lowest inflation and unemployment rates in decades. Now, Americans are typically less positive about their finances, have changed over the past year than about where they're headed, and that remains the same. 50% say they're better off today than they were a year ago. That 50% still represents a post-recession milestone. First time since 2007 that at least half of the public has said they're financially better off than a year ago. That's great. 10 years ago, as the Great Recession neared its end, the percentage saying their finances had improved from the previous year, a record low, 23%. Boy, pretty dismal times when you think about it, right? More than half the public, 54%, said they were worse off. Now with unemployment below 1998 levels, the job market growing steadily, the numbers saying they're worse off than a year ago, it's way down at 26%. That is the lowest it's been since October 2000. Isn't that great? Yes. More good economic news in the atmosphere that we have now. And if you want to be honest, which apparently some politicians don't want to be, I mean, go back to the State of the Union. You remember the Democrat response? I remember George Bush, I think it was George W. Bush, who made this comment that all the Democrats had to offer was a litany of complaints. And that's really what you would have heard if you listened to the Democratic response. You should be able to tout these wonderful accomplishments economically that have taken place the past few years. There's no reason you shouldn't acknowledge. You should not acknowledge these things that have, extraordinary things that have happened in recent years. So what you have to do is you have to go borrow some of these really stupid issues like healthcare, government takeover, health, Medicare for all, global warming. Of course, you're going to find some of this nonsense and make those big issues, which are not the key issues for the average American person. But give it a shot. Have fun. Whatever floats your boat. Coming up on the broadcast, we'll talk about something else very closely related. Where do we stand on retirement? Are we ready to retire? We'll talk about this and much more as we continue. By the way, you seen this little guy from Indiana, a mayor running for president? We haven't talked about him here, but he's got several elements that would be first for someone of this type to become president of the United States. He really took a shot at the former governor of Indiana, saying that he's a fanatic who has disgraced the state. I think he's trying to get some media attention, do you think? That's what that is all about. That's what that is all about. On the text line, come on, Vince. If Gomer Pyle was ever remade, I'd cast you in the part. Come on, say it. Surprise, 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 Sergeant Carter. Okay, I think we've had about enough of that. By the way, for those of you curious about this Indiana mayor, this is an example of, this just absolutely blows my mind. Well, this is what I expect from CNN. They're doing this extended segment on this mayor of Indiana, how he would become the first gay president. So now they have an interview with him and his husband. I mean, it just blows my mind, the propaganda. But this is what they love to do, right? This is how it works. Let's go out to Ryan and Gastonia. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Vince?
All right, sir.
I see you touting that economy, saying how great it is and how wonderful it is, but you ask all these white guys that are standing on these corners out here in the around Charlotte and Gastonia, they'll tell you that the economy is not good at all. That's all you see is white men holding signs begging for help.
Okay. Anything else? Oh, boy. Well, thank you for your comments there, Ryan. How about your situation? Are you struggling?
I'm fortunate enough to be working. The Lord has blessed me with a job, blessed me to be able to take care of my family and my bills. And so I'm happy for that. I'm thankful for that. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to run around here lying, saying the economy is the best that it ever is, when you got people out here standing on the corner. I've never seen white
Ryan,
men.
Ryan, you've always had people standing on corners.
Listen, at the number of white men that I see standing on corners now, I've never seen it. Never with signs. I've never seen it.
Okay.
So the economy is good for rich folks.
Folks
like me and working class, the economy hasn't changed at all.
All right. Well, I appreciate your perspective there, Ryan. Oh, boy. I'm serious. You always have some Eeyores out there. You can always find them. Let's go out, half full, half empty. You know how that works. Mike and Charlotte, good morning.
Vince,
are you one of them white guys who's out on the street right now, by the way? I'm just curious.
I'm one of the white guys. Every time I leave Costco, the same black man standing on the corner, and you come to the red light holding a sign. Unable to work, homeless, and all this mess. But the white guys he's seeing, they're Cortez's bunch. You know, the ones unwilling to work, even though there's jobs going out the door.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
So you are not a fan of what he has communicated. I do appreciate your call. And we have someone else who would like to respond. Frank out of Gastonia. Good morning.
Good morning, Vince. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir.
Hey, to Ryan that just called, I think his PhD is in, well, I can't say it, but...
Is there a clean way to say that, Frank?
What was that, Vince?
Is there a clean way to express it?
Oh, yeah. I think he just has BS at the end of his name instead of MD.
All righty.
Hey, but what I was calling, seriously, it's not the white man. It's not the black man. It's not any race creed. It's people that are lazy that don't want to work. If they say they cannot find work in today's world, they're lazy. I'm lucky enough to have started a business here recently, and we're doing better than I ever dreamed of.
Yep. Well, good. I appreciate calling in, Frank, to provide your perspective. This texter said, white men are standing on the corner because it's economically viable to stand on the corner. The economy's good, and people are handing out $5 bills. Yeah, that's how this works. They're handing out these bills for free. Why not stand there and collect them? Why not? Also on the text line, Vince, this mayor from South Bend is an idiot. Trump would wreck him in the general election. He doesn't have a chance in the primary in the first place. But it would get a lot of fawning attention from CNN because it serves to promote the agenda. Another person saying here, oh, I can't say that. That is terrible. How dare you say that about a previous president? Professional beggars should not be confused with people in real distress. I've watched them, and they drive nicer cars than I do. Well, some of them do. This person saying panhandlers, for the most part, make a career choice. It is, for some people, a career choice. Mike in Charlotte, good morning.
Morning. How you doing, sir?
All right.
Hey, I kind of agree with the last caller. It's not unheard of right now for people having to hire two or three people to fill one position and just try to see who wants to work. And it's, you know, if you try to fill a position, you may have two or three people cycle through before you get someone who really does want to work. And to the caller who said that today's economy is only for the middle class, or it's not helping the middle class guy, I mean, look at all the jobs that have been created. Ask those people where they were at, you know, several months ago. And on top of that, go ask your accountant. When you go get your taxes done, look at how much you're getting back, or look how much you paid in taxes for the year. There's a big difference if you look at it.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Appreciate your call there, Mike. Let's talk about the other aspect of this, which is kind of interesting because this story goes a totally different direction, reported by CNBC. A looming retirement crisis threatens us and future generations. Currently, almost half of all Americans, half of all American families, do not have any retirement savings. Isn't that amazing? None. Zero. More than one-third of all private sector workers do not have access to a workplace retirement plan. And apparently, we face a looming retirement crisis that will impact millions of elderly and soon-to-be elderly Americans, as well as our children and grandchildren who will have to bail out those generations. The person expressing concern about this is Senator Heidi Heitkamp. He's probably going to run for president, you think? Economists who argue there is no retirement income crisis are missing the point. The crisis is not today. It's 20 years in the future. But the time to act is now before it's too late. Ooh, I wonder what her solution is. All right. Scrolling down here to find out, what is the solution? How do you fix this? You have half of the people who don't have anything? Nothing? Zero? What do you do? And by the way, whatever happened to Social Security? Wasn't this supposed to be the savior of mankind and retired people? Yeah, what's the deal here? Come on, explain it to me. More than one-third of all private sector workers do not have access to a workplace retirement plan. Projections show 44% of baby boomers and Gen Xers risk running short of funds for retirement. 40% of American adults would be unable to come up with $400 for an emergency expense account without borrowing money or selling a possession. Oh, boy. So, what does Mrs. Heitkamp think is a brilliant idea to fix this? We'll talk about it coming up. Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, we've been talking about retirement. And by the way, this article, I was quite shocked. There's no reference at all to talking about what the government needs to do. Here's a politician who's actually saying that people need to make the choice to contribute to their own retirement accounts. Boy, I'm absolutely shocked. I was looking for the hook and it's not there. It's really, really shocking. The reason half the people, this texter says, have no retirement plan is because they do rely on Social Security. Vince, I really believe I was better off mentally when I didn't pay attention to politics. At that time, just a few were nuts. Now I see the whole country is jacked up, going back to the bunker and putting in the earplugs and blinders on. All right, Tim, I understand where you're coming from. My neighbors are always poor-mouthing. Doesn't stop them from eating out multiple times a week and getting Domino's pizza delivered. They choose to be poor. Oh, boy. These bunch of idiots make my family look normal. Who would have believed that could happen? You must have a pretty interesting family. Then Social Security was not built as a proper retirement fund. It was to help out. And it's on the people that don't have retirement plans. It ain't none of us. It's on the people that don't have them because they've worked half their lives and didn't put any money away. That's on them. That's not on us. It's there. The crisis is like an old saying I heard, a crisis on your part is not necessarily a priority on mine. Well, it sounds like you're just selfish. Selfish! Just messing with you. Sign holders don't want to work, period. Just a handout. Prove me wrong by trying to offer them work. They don't want jobs. And there's that. For the past 10 years, I've received a measly 1% to 2% pay raise a year. At the end of 2018, I received a phenomenal 33% pay raise. Where do you work? You just let me know. Yeah, that's a pretty good bet. The economy was directly quoted as being the reason for this raise. I am ecstatic with the economy and my new salary. I'll bet you are. That's really good. Very impressive. Vince, I came into this world with absolutely nothing. Through a lot of hard work and personal initiative, I still have most of it. Another person saying here, unfortunately, in many quarters, personal responsibility does not exist. Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it? Let's talk about a fun little issue that Democrats are wrestling with. I think this is hilarious. So you got all these Democrats coming out of the woodwork now to run for president, and I think it's going to be a circus. It really is. You're going to watch these guys race for the bottom. And when I say bottom, they're going to look for every single possible government program they can possibly implement. That's how it works. But what if there's a splinter in the Democrat movement? Get a load of this. This story. 2020 Democratic disaster grows as entirely new leftist party just got approved. If it seems like things weren't good for the Democrats because so many people running or likely to run for president in 2020, it just got worse. Even the socialism some Democrats are pushing is now being threatened. The push for socialism has been taken and turned into not only a new political party in the U.S., but a means of challenging the very Democrats who push it. Why vote for a Democrat who talks about socialism here and there when you can support an entire party dedicated to implementing it across the board? Hey, that makes sense. Let's just do it right. Go for broke. Don't settle for any of these Democrats in name only. Got to go for the gusto. Maryland has just certified a new party to enter the political landscape. I am really intrigued. Really intrigued. I think back to this. Do you remember several years ago? One of the things that there was a concern expressed, the Tea Party was going to be a conservative movement that was going to splinter the Republican Party. What's happened? Where's the Tea Party, by the way? It's gone. It's gone. Now, some of these conservatives are still there. But I would contend that a lot of what's happened is in the era of Trump, everything has been swallowed up by Trumpism and nobody cares about anything else. But here's what's happening on the Democrat side. This push for socialism, some are saying this is what's necessary, a real party that just pushes for it. Why vote for a Democrat who talks about socialism here and there when you can support an entire party dedicated to implementing it across the board? Let's go for broke. Maryland, they've certified a new party to enter the political landscape named the Bread and Roses Party. Why didn't they just do Guns and Roses Party? Oh, I can't. I'm sorry. Democrats can't do that. Here's what may happen in Maryland. They may even have their own presidential candidate facing off against the Democrats in 2020. Wouldn't that be cool? To have a liberal party, another liberal party? The New Socialist Party is an electoral party for both new socialists and non-socialists. A party with a strong utopian and international orientation. One in pursuit of a new American dream, according to its website. While they don't fully embrace the term socialist and prefers socialistic. What? This blows my mind. These people are really strange. Socialistic. They are open to the use of the former. They want it to be clear they are not your standard socialist party. This is hilarious. And this is where they hit really hard at the Democrats pushing for socialism. They're branding themselves as something better than it is, leaving behind the baggage of the old kind of socialism. That old kind is what the Democrats of today have been trying to sell to the American people. Perhaps much more like Democrat Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has been able to captivate with her seemingly fresh approach. Bread and Roses will be able to capitalize on that same desire for something new on the far left. of the political spectrum. That's something new that they bring includes going beyond the socialist tradition in two important aspects. The first is their commitment to beauty and creativity, to meaningful work, and to sufficient leisure to do the things that are most important in life. The second way they're providing an update is found in their commitment to an alternative American dream. What is that? Identifying strongly with the anti-consumerist, simple living traditions of American society. Oh, boy.
By mandate.
Oh, gosh. A society that is user-friendly for Americans seeking to live an alternative American dream. A vibrant life with economic security, but modest consumption and limited involvement in getting and spending. My goodness, these people have lost their minds. You think anybody, you know people interested in this party? Join News Talk 1110-993-WBT, the Independence Fund for special President's Day can't miss inspirational event featuring wounded combat veteran Mike Verardo. It's WBT's leadership, Veterans Leadership and Business Speaker Series. It's Tuesday, February 19th, 11:30 a.m. Carmel Country Club in Charlotte. Tickets and details available at WBT.com/events. Over on the text line. Going socialist when you're already $21 trillion in debt? That is laughable. Sadly, the joke is on us, isn't it? Let's go to York and Joe. Good morning.
Good morning, Vince. I wanted to follow up on what we were talking about, Social Security, first of all. The Social Security Fund was doing fine until the federal government decided to borrow all the money from Social Security and paid only 3-5% interest on it ever, whereas the federal part of Social Security was kept separate and got much higher rates of interest. And that's one reason their fund is collapsing or has collapsed, is because of interference with the federal government, which was it was originally set up to be self-sustaining due to the increase in interest rates. In interest paid into it. So the federal government ruined Social Security by borrowing all the money out of it. And it's deplorable. And anything the government touches turns to crap. I'm sorry, that's just the way they are. They're bureaucrats. And they also changed who can get Social Security and made it a welfare fund.
Yep.
So that's what happened.
You're right on the money here, Joe. I do appreciate your call. And again, I've said this before. You know, if some sort of financial company, big bank or something like that, had handled money the way the federal government handles money, these people would be in prison. But when you're a government person, you can get away with it, especially if you're in Congress. Let's go down to Columbia and Denise. Good morning.
Good morning, Vince. You know that scenario that was described in the text where the person said, I can't believe they're poor mouthing when they're I see them at dinner, out to dinner three times a week and delivery of pizza twice a week. I lumped that into a phrase called shoe shopping your way to poverty.
And that is good.
Regardless of what it is you're doing, I can assure you, see, I'm 69 years old, and the thing I have over Ocasio-Cortez is that I've been 29, and that's all she's ever been, okay? She does not have a life perspective here at 29 years old. So I can see things the way she can see things, plus a whole lot more, plus another couple decades worth of observation that she doesn't have. And I think one of the reasons that we need socialism, I'll put that in big air quotes, is because capitalism is working so well. The people are out at restaurants three nights a week. The World War II people who built wealth that a lot of people in my generation have come to, first of all, we had the we were blessed with the ability to observe how they lived. And I can guarantee you, my parents didn't go out to dinner three or four times a week. And that is how they built wealth. They knew they lived through the Great Depression. They served in World War II. They came back and reduced the debt of World War II by paying the highest income tax rates we had ever had up until Reagan showed up. So for the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, those people paid and willingly paid to pay down the debt. You might think that they'd say, well, for God's sakes, I just fought World War II. Now I have to pay for it. But they did. God bless them, because Lord knows what debt we'd have if it weren't for that. So some issues that are being brought up about raising the income tax rate, I'm questioning whether that might not be something we need to look at, because I can see that the progressivity of the income tax is the highest and fastest, goes up like a rocket, up to about $300,000-$400,000. And from there on, it's a flat tax for everybody. People making $4 million are paying basically a 37% flat tax. The rest of us who aren't making $4 million, if we're making under $400,000, we're living in a progressive income tax world. They are not.
Yep.
So I'm not so sure that we shouldn't, rather than be cutting rates, we should be looking at who's paying the bill and what percent of their income they're paying. And I think that the people who are making out like a bandit here actually are the 50% who don't pay any federal income tax.
Yep.
And the
yep.
super uber rich who are basically paying a flat tax.
So who's getting screwed here, Denise?
Those of us who are what we call the upper middle.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Very insightful, Denise. I do appreciate your call. This has been going on for a long time, quite a long time. Rick and Matthews, you got about 30 seconds or so. Take it away.
Yes, sir. I'd like to, where people are saying they don't have a $400 in savings.
Well, they're saying if there's an expense, it's going to cost $400. There's a certain percentage of people in this country who could not afford it.
Yeah, the problem is I'm 70 years old, and I've been working all these years since I was 14 years old. Started out at 68 cents an hour. And no matter what you make, you can save some if you'll put it aside. It's just like your tithes and offerings. If you put it aside at the beginning, you'll pay yourself. But we're wanting to spend everything and have all of these things. And then when you get old, you know, it ain't there.
Yep, you're absolutely right. That is the definition there of conservatism, what you've described of saving the money. Conserve, save. So if nothing else, take away from this program today, take a look at what you're doing in terms of saving and preparing for the future. That's all our time. Have a great day. God bless you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.